Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida today, and just personally, you've become a very free person because you're no longer tied down to one home.
Right. I'm getting the heck out of Florida. The inspiration was that my air conditioner broke and the parts back ordered a month. So here we are in murderous Florida heat. I'm getting the 1 month, and not that I like Florida summer heat to begin with. So anyway, thanks for inviting me on, Jim. I always like to pretend I'm up there in nice, foggy, never too hot Vancouver.
AI. Now, everybody's attaching AI to their name. I just saw an article on Bloomberg, something like 40% of the companies now have attached AI, the ones getting any money on the market. Is this, as you said, this is nothing new, but all of a sudden it just has people's attention. What's the story with AI?
It's a fraud. I mean, it can do things. AI in one form or another has been with us for 100 years, but the current epiphany sort of piggybacks on NVIDIA's great success in envisioning an AI component to their hardware NVIDIA has been there really for the next big thing in three iterations. You know, they caught the gaming chip business, and they caught they're on the AI bandwagon now, and everybody thinks that NVIDIA is going to create so much business for the downstream companies that they'll all be multi-billion dollar companies themselves, all these little IPOs, anybody with a stake. But you may have read the wrong article. It was an article. I haven't seen it yet, really. I only got a teaser from Zero Hedge. It's on a premium service, and apparently it's someone from Goldman Sachs who puts the knock on AI. He says that it's produced... they didn't use the word substantive, but AI has produced nothing really of value in the marketplace. And, you know, we can ooh and ah over how well AI can create a visual tableau. In other words, you can speak, you can text exactly what you want to see in the background of the movie you're making, let's say. But when you sort of follow the money, follow the trail, when you put AI in the hands of a bunch of crap peddlers like Disney, what they've got already is going to be even worse. You know, Disney basically makes movies with the focus groups that they're almost at the AI stage anyway. They just feed a lot of data into what the kids will want to see three times, and they turn out a lot of crap. But with AI, they won't even have to hire talent. They'll license the voice of the celebrities who do the speaking parts for their animated features. So AI, for all the glamour about, you know, you can just say, you know, tell it what you want to render visually, it's going to be prostituted. I don't think it pretends a golden era for movies or music or anything else, because there's no creativity in it.
Well, Tom Hanks has gone and AI'd himself, put all his voice and images into databanks. He says, I'll be acting, you know, for hundreds of years after I'm dead.
he may be right. You know, I watched Forrest Gump last night, and that film definitely holds up. And Tom Hanks himself will be, he's iconic enough now that for all we know, people will enjoy Tom Hanks movies, but 100 years from now, but that may not be true for a lot of other other stars. That most of them will be also rans because, you know, the archive gets pretty full of choices 100 years from now. We've got an accretion of data, and you'll need someone to curate it. So he may be right, and I guess, but I think whatever he makes, whatever money he gets for selling his voice and his likeness to be recreated visually with AI, I think there's going to be some starlet out there who makes it. She'll be the first one to sign a billion-dollar contract, and it will be, you know, she'll get more than an LA Dodgers pitcher because she will license herself for whatever the purpose might be of young men. So, you know, you'll have an AI with goggles, with virtual reality and everything. You'll have everything you want from that starlet if you're a 15-year-old boy, or who knows, a 32-year-old man.
Now, I know in Canada, the writers have voted against using AI to voice their novels so far, but it's so tempting because it's so much cheaper than hiring a voice actor to do it. But, of course, once you start using the voice actors, then who's to say that your writing isn't going to be replaced by a robot as well?
Well, you know, the writers, the Hollywood writers, were correct. I mean, they were, it was justified for them to take a hard line in the last contract negotiations. The producers would say, oh, you know, we're going to use AI just to sort of spruce up some screenplays and things like that. But that was just a dirty, rotten, scurrilous lie, because the writers recognized that AI could completely put them out of business. Disney would certainly be the first studio to do that, to essentially eliminate human beings from the creative process, which they almost have done anyway. But so you know, and the producers say, oh, don't sweat it, you know, we're still going to use creative inputs from real humans, he's lying.
Well, Japan, turning to AI, Japan, the first to use robots to build cars because they'd lost so many people during the Second World War. Now they've created giant AI robots to help maintain their railways and paint bridges and so on. Because they're against migrants coming into the country to do that job. Japan aging so fast, they now sell more adult diapers than they do baby diapers.
Yeah, and those robots will get better and better at doing the things that migrants do. You know, there are even machines that can pick grapes as delicately as they need to get work, machine work in the vineyards of France. But, you know, you can see AI sort of eliminating wide swaths of jobs, and the point I made, I think we talked about this before, it's the idea that you could put an AI voice unit in the middle of a courtroom, and it should give you either a Clarence Darrow defense, or, well, I don't know who some... You never hear about the great prosecutors, but in any case, it's coming for, if not your job and mine, Jim, at least everybody else's job.
Well, if the U.S. is like Canada, prosecutors are grossly underpaid compared to their defense counterparts who make $10,000, $20,000 a day.
It's true. It's a joke in the profession, I guess, but it's also the reason why so many prosecutors eventually migrate to the defense. And it's almost like the revolving door in Washington, D.C. You know, once you cut your chops... essentially complete your degree with the state paying your tuition, then you switch over to the defense. And, of course, it's never a disadvantage to be a defense lawyer if you've worked the prosecution side. So fortunately, there's always, not fortunately for us, but fortunately for lawyers, there's always job openings for prosecution staff.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, taking a look at who's doing a good job or a decent job or any kind of job with AI, Apple now saying they're going to put AI on their next phone. Is it even their own AI?
Yeah, the initial read on that, this is before Apple made the big announcement about, the anticipated about, you know, slapping some AI into their phone. One reaction that I recall was in Wired magazine. They're a very astute evaluator of the whole Wired scene, and it was their take that, you know, Apple was, this wasn't a good move, that Apple should have its own AI that it developed in-house to enhance the performance of the iPhone. So here was Wired saying, you know, Apple should hold off, but they didn't. They basically announced, hey, we're gonna slap an AI component in the phone. And instead of the stock reacting negatively because Apple was doing this whole AI thing in a slapdash way, the stock has gone vertical. It's been vertically rallying ever since. And so, you know, every company is sort of on the AI bandwagon at this point. And I dealt with one of those companies yesterday, Microsoft, and it's got its feet much deeper in AI muck than Apple. You know, Microsoft has spent a lot of money developing its own AI capabilities, but I kind of bumped into one of those capabilities yesterday in the throes of a two-hour fruitless, like, took me totally in the wrong direction tech support. I was having trouble with my email Outlook client connecting to a server. And I got all sorts of bad ideas, including restoring to a registry point from a couple weeks ago. And that caused real havoc. So if their support staff, their human support staff, can't get it right, how is AI support going to get it right? You know, it's not any better. It's like garbage in, garbage out. And they're entry in a race is something called Pilot, I think it is, and or maybe it was Copilot. It was an easy name to remember, but that's why I've forgotten it. But it's going to be a component of the next Windows. They're starting to accelerate the Windows cycle now to every 3 years a new release, and we barely got comfortable with 11. I'm still in Windows 10. But we're going to have 12 and 13 out before you know what's happening. And a good reason for Microsoft to sort of shove it in our faces is they want to get this Copilot or whatever it's called working. And as is the case with everything AI, the primary reason for it, the thing that impels it is, eliminating jobs. And I think Microsoft would love to do away with its global support, its human support, not staff. Microsoft covers support with thousands of contractors, some of which are big firms and are on their own. So anyway, I'm in this two-hour tech call with the Microsoft yesterday, and we're not getting anywhere. And so I asked him, I said, well, I could ask, I also discovered that new versions of Outlook are not the way I like them. I've sort of built mine in 20 years to be a filing system that I understand. So I may have to redo that. So I said to the guy, well, then I'll be able to just dictate into a microphone the question to this AI component of the next Windows, the question, All right, how do I get my my Outlook contacts folder to look exactly to the, like the one that's been on my drive for years and years and years? And my human tech had already failed at that task. He had only sort of demonstrated that you may have a problem down the road trying to port your the look of your old Outlook into the into new Outlook. So again, if a human can't get it, then how do we expect a machine to do it? But Microsoft doesn't really care as long as you know, you have a support pathway, even if it doesn't lead anywhere. They like to put you on that pathway just to kind of pacify you with the idea that at some point along the line, you'll get real support and you'll get the problem solved. So everywhere I see, I would challenge anybody to show me an instance of AI, something running on some machine that's really changing people's lives for the better. It's definitely reshaping the bottom line, and we'll see it appear more and more where labor, machine labor, can most easily be substituted for human.
The Microsoft program is called Copilot.
Copilot, right. Yeah. What did I say?
Pilot, close enough.
All right, so it's Copilot, and they're just dying to get that in your face. Because ultimately, I think it's just a device. It's a way of eliminating human beings who work for Microsoft directly or on contract.
Yeah, it says download Copilot today. See your productivity increase and have it demonstrated for you. So they are pushing it.
Do you notice that with all the productivity increases, use those words in quotes, that we've had over the last 20 years because we're living in the fabulous digital age, do you notice that how whatever efficiency we may have gained is squandered just trying to reach a human being? You know, we've this is
switchboard hell. We've all been stuck in switchboard hell.
Yeah, and I don't even want to. I mean, the music that they play when you're on hold, it's like make you bleed from the ears. It's so horrible, and I think they do that. They just do that to chase you away. It's like they've already denied you the privilege of talking to a human support person, but I think they're really trying to drive people away from even wanting to talk to voice-driven menus and machines, because the music they play on a lot of companies that I deal with where I'm on hold quite a bit, it's horrible. You can't even listen to it. So I don't know. You could tell I'm no fan of AI, but certainly Wall Street hasn't lost a step just taking it. They really run with it.
Is there anything else driving the stock market right now once you get out of AI?
No, it's just, you know, you need a story, and AI is definitely the story, and I think it is comparable to the story that drove RCA, otherwise known as radio, in the 1920s. And there was so little understanding of what radio frequency was that I think I mentioned this in a previous discussion we had. There's a movie with Bob Hope, I think W.C. Fields, and there's a cruise line. It's a big ship, and it's somehow radio powered, which is a place we never really got to. So AI has that sort of limitless horizon. It could be all things to all people, but you know, is it smart enough to tell us how to create fusion energy, let's say, or you know, how to get more bang for a buck with lithium storage, or you name it? So it's not, I just don't see it changing our lives in those ways. It's going to change our lives in a way that the companies that we do business with will reduce their human interface.
An AI expert friend of mine said, study showed there's a 10% chance AI will wipe out the human race, but people are still developing it anyway. It's like
he's full of crap. I mean, I don't believe the you know, it wasn't who was, you know, the very well known guy who wrote the future doesn't need us. Not Kurzweil. And anyway, the doomsday idea, and I'm all, you know, I'm totally on board for doomsday, but I just have my own version of it with deflation and an earthquake that splits the dome of the rock, simple things that I can understand. But as far as AI somehow developing the secretive power to do in the human race, I just don't see it. You know, it's not how, what was it? Hell is Hell 9000. you just pull the plug. The examples that I've seen of how AI could run amok, they've been really stupid examples. They just don't hold water.
Yeah, how can you make sure every human is fed? Well, just reduce the human population by 3 or 4 billion. That kind of scenario.
Well, if we enable an AI to do that, you know, remember the day the Earth stood still, extraterrestrial intelligence, a million years evolved beyond us, they sent their rep down to Earth, and he said, look, we know you people have been playing with fire here, meaning back in the 1950s, this was with nuclear device fire, and he said, if you don't get it under control and join the peaceful universe there of aliens, of, if you don't get with the peace movement, we're going to incinerate you. And so if we empowered AI to do that, you know, and that's the fail-safe mechanism, really, if we let AI regulate us in a way that we'll no longer have wars or whatever, and it has the power to incinerate us. Well, a lot of people would be pretty happy with that. I'm sort of, put me down as I'm wavering.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I'm watching stocks pretty closely every day, and I've always been good at coming up with these hidden pivot targets, like how high is this thing going to rally? And all my subscribers have sort of gotten in the habit of getting short whenever these things hit a target. But some time ago, I said, look, that this market is overpowering all of these hidden pivot resistance points. You shouldn't be trying to short possible rally tops. You should just be going with the trend. You should be buying. If you're going to be in the market, you should be going with the flow. And at this point, it's so insane the way these companies are growing, adding $1 trillion worth of valuation in a month, as was the case with NVIDIA. And it's absolutely absurd what's happening in the market. But nobody's going to get the top, and you shouldn't think that you can, much less make money timing the top exactly. But I've got some smart subscribers in my chat room who, well, there's I think a lot of wisdom in there about, look, we don't want to try to catch the exact top, and I don't mind being out of the market right now, even if I'm missing the exciting parabolic part of it, of the bull market. So, you know, either go with the flow with the tight stop loss, a trailing stop, or just sit back and marvel at all the craziness that's in this market right now. It's so stupid, crazy, beyond crazy. And in dollar terms, it makes, I mentioned this in the chat room, if you compare inflation-adjusted dollars from the South Sea bubble and the tulip mania, those are small numbers compared to what we're seeing occurring in the stock market right now.
Rick, always fun chatting with you.
Likewise, Jim. I always appreciate the chance to get on and connect with your vast audience.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our X connection is find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.